Thank you. It's on now? Thank you. The microphone was not on. But as I greet there on Sunday mornings from the front, I enjoy seeing those smiles as you come in. But sometimes it is not only a smile. For sometimes, indeed, often, you come in with more than a smile. For many of us, as we come in carrying a smile on our faces, but also carrying a burden. Some of you indeed share that burden as I greet you in the front steps on Sunday mornings. You share that burden with me, and I thank you for that. I consider that to be a tremendous privilege. You share burdens of personal, significant health issues, even as we've prayed for this morning. But even more often, you share burdens of health issues of loved ones, not yourself. You share burdens of broken or injured relationships. You share burdens of crisis situations in your life. You share all sorts of burdens. You carry those burdens as you come in this morning. I know that to be true. I know that even now, many of you are carrying such burdens. And as you come then, as you come here bearing those burdens, you come rightly. For you come to the place, where burdens are to be shared. We come this morning, as I said moments ago, because it's Communion Sunday, to our Communion Sunday series on the one another's of the New Testament, and in particular to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And thus, as you come this morning, as you come to this place bearing those burdens, you come to the right place. And when I say the right place, I'm not speaking of a geographic location of this building. Rather, I'm speaking of the people here, your brothers and sisters. For as we come together, and as you come bearing those burdens, you come to the place where we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we move into our text this morning, to this one another, and we find, as I've said a couple of times now, we find that one another in verse 2. But before we take a look at that and the actual verse, the actual one another, we need to do what we always need to do and what we always do on Sunday morning, and that is consider the context that this comes in. The context, the immediate context, is verse 1 that comes before, as well as verses 3 through 5, which follow. Thus, we read this morning verses 1 through 5. There's an immediate context before in verse 1, an immediate context following that. But actually, before we even get to that immediate context, I want to back up a little bit and just spend a moment or so taking a look at the broader context. For we have not been spending time in the book of Galatians. So let me just speak very briefly of the broader context of Paul's epistle to the Galatians this morning. Paul writes to confront a heresy in the Galatian church, the heresy of those whom we call the Judaizers. These were individuals who were seeking to add to the gospel obedience to the law, and in particular, things such as circumcision. But Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, no, we are saved through faith alone, not by works, not by obedience to the law, not through circumcision or any other element of the law or even the ceremonial law. We are not saved in that way. Rather, we are saved through faith alone. And so in chapter 5, in verses 13 and 14, he says there, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says there, in the broader context, battling these Judaizers who would have them seek salvation, add to the gospel through obedience to the law. He says the law is actually fulfilled, entirely fulfilled in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And therefore, he says in the previous verse, that we are to serve one another through love. Through love, serve one another. And so that's the broader context as we now move into our passage, into our text this morning in chapter 6. And we see then, placed in that context, that one way that we do so, one way that through love we serve one another, is that we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is, by bearing one another's burdens, we are serving one another through love. We are fulfilling the law of Christ. We are fulfilling the law of love. But also, so that's one way, and that's the central way this morning, the central thing we're going to look at, once again, that one another, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But there's another way, still in our text, in the previous verse, in verse 1, in that surrounding context of the one another, there's another way that is suggested by the Apostle Paul, whereby through love we may serve one another. And that, as I say, is in verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore such a one. That is another way there, first of all, in verse 1, whereby through love we may serve one another. We can restore a sinning brother or sister. We have been reminded of this sort of thing a number of times in recent weeks, haven't we? That is not by my doing. That has been as the texts that we have been looking at have unfolded before us. And in those texts, we have seen a number of times and been reminded in other times recently of restoring sinning brothers or sisters. Last week, from our regular series in 1 Timothy, and there, last week, we were, again, as Paul was addressing this, we were addressing pastors and elders, and in particular, the sinning pastor, the sinning elder, and how that one needs to be confronted. Indeed, Paul says there, in that case, publicly confronted. But hear me as you heard me last week. Even in those situations, the goal in all of these situations is indeed repentance and restoration. That is the goal. Correcting a sinning brother or sister, any sinning brother or sister. In so doing, we are seeking repentance and restoration, and thus correcting a brother or sister who is sinning is, and hear me, the most loving thing you can do for that brother or sister. And indeed, To avoid that correction is the least loving thing you can do. And back here, then, that was previous weeks, as we've been seeing this, as it has come up in some of the scripture texts we've been looking at recently. And back here in our text this morning, in chapter 6, verse 1, we see here one of the clearer verses in the New Testament regarding this. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. The goal is always repentance and restoration. But in so doing, in seeking the restoration of the brother, as we continue on now, still in verse 1, we see that there are dangers We see there are missteps that need to be avoided, dangers that need to be avoided. And there are two dangers that we want to consider here this morning. The first danger comes in the second part of verse 1. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted and thus fall into sin yourself. As we seek to restore a sinning brother or sister, we do so in a spirit of gentleness, for we are recognizing our own weakness, our own propensity to sin, that we do so such that we, in seeking to restore, do not ourselves fall to that same temptation and fall into sin ourselves. As I speak thus, I'm always reminded in these sort of ways of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where there Paul says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." I recall a number of decades ago now, it was a while back, and I was a young man still, so that must be many years ago. I recall a number of decades ago, and I was at a gathering, can't remember why, can't remember all the individuals who was there, but it was a gathering of Christian brothers and sisters. And at that time, there had been, sadly, yet again, another prominent Christian figure who had fallen into sin. Don't even remember who that individual was, and it doesn't matter. But what I do remember of that occasion was immediately one of the wise people in that group immediately said, "It just goes to show how easily any one of us can fall." And that statement, along with the biblical statement of 1 Corinthians 10:12 that I just read for you a moment ago, has been a reminder, has been a thought in my head anytime this sort of thing happens. Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Be aware of my own weakness. But nevertheless, we seek to restore. We seek to restore, though, in a spirit of gentleness, lest we also fall into sin. But there's a second danger. We've talked about the broader context. We've talked about the immediate context in verse 1 of restoring. Another way in which we can, through love, serve one another, through restoring a brother, but to do so with that danger in mind. The second danger associated with that comes with the second part of the immediate context, and that is in verses 3 through 5. The second danger comes after the one another, and later on in our text, as these two portions, verse 1 and verses 3 through 5, bracket verse 2. And that is, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." What is Paul saying there? What is he talking about there? And what is especially confusing, and especially depending upon your version, what is especially confusing is verse 5. Let's just get it out on the table. Because what we're ultimately looking at this morning is bear one another's burdens. And yet verse 5 says, "For each one shall bear his own load." Or in the ESV, I think it says, "shall bear his own burden." So what is it, Paul? What are you talking about in verses 3 through 5 here? What are you talking about here? Well, I think what Paul is talking about in verses 3 through 5, is a continuation of that first danger that he talked about in the second part of verse 1, and he now introduces another danger as we seek to restore one. He is saying the following, that if anyone thinks he is something special in his Christian walk, because that one is comparing himself to that brother or sister who is sinning. And instead of restoring They're looking at that, or maybe in the midst of seeking to restore, they're at the same time looking at that sinning brother or sister and saying, ha, 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 ha. I'm way above those people who thinks they are something special in comparison to that sinning brother. Paul says they're deceiving themselves. Instead, he says, if you're going to evaluate where you are in your Christian walk, instead do it this way. Not by comparing yourself to another, but rather by simply examining yourself in the mirror of Scripture. In that way, examine yourself. Examine yourself bearing in mind, and now we come to the particularly perplexing verse 5, bearing in mind, for each one of us, each one shall bear his own load. That is, ultimately, in that day, each one of us will individually stand before God. So examine yourself in that light, not in comparison to that sinning brother. So danger one is beware lest you also fall. Danger two in verses 3-5 is to enter into comparison. As we are seeking to restore that sinning brother or sister, as we are in so doing, through love serving one another. And now we come to verse 2. Now we come to the main point. And you might be saying, why all of that earlier talk about the surrounding context, Craig? Well, we'll see that in a moment, so hang on to that. For verse 2 is the verse in particular we want to consider. It is the one another we want to consider now from the text. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So two questions as we enter into it. First of all, what are these burdens? What are these burdens that we're talking about? And then secondly, the question is, how is the bearing of one another's burdens related to what surrounds it? Restoring a sinning brother and the idea of a brother or sister falling into sin. And us avoiding doing so also. How is this one another related to what comes before and after and the sinning brother? Those are two important questions, and there are two related questions. There's a relationship between them. As we answer one, we are led to the answer of the other. So here we go. First of all, what are these burdens that Paul is talking about? Quite simply, these burdens are all the burdens that we talked about in my introduction this morning. All the burdens that you carry into this assembly this morning. All those burdens that are on your hearts right now. Those burdens, once again, of personal and significant health issues. Many of you have that this morning. Those burdens of loved ones with significant health issues. Many of you have that this morning. Those burdens of injured and even broken relationships. Some of you come this morning with that also bearing you down and weighing you down. The burdens of crises situations in your life. All manner of burdens is what Paul is talking about here. It is all manner of burdens. And here's the point then. These burdens are all manner of burdens. And here we go. And bearing these burdens is also related to restoring that sinning brother in this way, that all manner of burdens bring temptation. Let me say that again. The burdens that are being talked about here are all manner of burdens, and all manner of burdens bring temptations. Thus, this bearing of one another's burdens is related to the brother or sister who falls into sin. All manner of burdens bring temptation. How so? All manner of burdens, all different burdens, bring temptation because they bring, and hear me, because they bring wrongful thinking. Or at least the temptation towards wrongful thinking. If this is happening to me, God must not love me. If this is what it means to follow after Christ, then I'm out of here. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to walk away from the Christian life if this is what it means. Even, and note, this is why, one of the reasons why we read the text earlier this morning. Even Job's wife curse God and die. If this is what it means to follow God, curse God and die, Job, she says to Job. Satan is the father of lies. And these things that I've just said and many others are the lies that he brings to us when we are burdened with whatever. Satan is the father of lies. And these are the lies that lead to the temptation of wrongful thinking that face us when we bear any sort of burden. So this brings us to the how question. How are we then to bear one another's burdens? Answer. And this again is important. Hear me. If Satan is a liar, and he is, if Satan is the father of lies, and he is, and if Satan tempts us when we are burdened by telling us lies, and he does, then how do we combat that? How do we bear one another's burdens? Well, the answer is obvious now, isn't it? By speaking the truth. By speaking the truth. Not only to ourselves, but we bear one another's burdens by speaking that truth to one another. Yes, of course, we bear one another's burdens also by acts of kindness, which this church is wonderful at doing. We bear one another's burdens by praying for one another. We bear one another's burdens by acts of kindness such as simply listening to that person, by visiting that person, by offering meals to that person, by taking that person out for coffee. All of these things, by giving them an encouraging card. Yes, 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 and yes. Those acts of kindness are ways that we bear one another's burdens. And again, you do that so well, wonderfully, here at Fellowship Baptist Church. But if the burden brings temptation, and all burdens bring temptation, if the burden brings temptation through wrongful thinking, and that's the way it does happen, and if that wrongful thinking comes from the lies which Satan tells us, and that is indeed what's happening on those occasions, then we help one another, we serve one another through love, we bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ by speaking truth to one another. We have examples. We've talked about it, we've prayed about it, some of them at least this morning, but there are many more. We see examples of this sprinkled throughout our church family, sprinkled about this very room this morning. Those who are carrying huge burdens, but through that and nevertheless, bringing glory to God, bringing glory to Christ. How? How? As they cling to the truth and don't allow their faith to waver through that. Finally, and in conclusion this morning, three perspectives. Perspective number one, the perspective of you and I. When we face such burdens, and again, many, many of us this morning, if not all, are facing burdens. When we face burdens, what do we desire? What is our default mindset in that? What is our default perspective in that? We desire to be relieved of the burden. We desire, in other words, our comfort. Perspective number two, the evil one, Satan. We've already talked about this, but we continue to hammer it home. Perspective number two is that of the evil one. When again, we face a burden, what does Satan desire? Satan desires to use that burden to tempt you through his lies, to cause you to fall into sin, to cause you to question God, to cause you to turn around from your faith, to turn from Christ and your faith in him. Satan desires, the evil one desires, through that, your eternal destruction. Perspective number two. Perspective number three, God. Again, I ask the same question, but from this third perspective. When we face a burden in our lives, what does God desire? He desires that we grow. He desires our further sanctification. He desires that we be refined. He desires that we look to him all the more, that we trust in him all the more. He desires that we grow in holiness. He desires that through that, we grow in holiness to his glory. That's what God desires. Three different perspectives on the same burden. And I ask you, the answer's obvious, isn't it? What is the perspective that we need to see this through, that we need to adopt? In fact, God not only desires that, our further sanctification, our growth in him, our trusting in him, our holiness to the glory of God being grown through that. God not only desires that, but he uses the burden in that way. In fact, even more than that, and hear me, God is the one who ordained that burden. God is the one who brought that burden into your life. And he did so in order to fulfill that purpose. Whatever burden comes to you comes by God's sovereign hand, and it comes with that purpose, with that end in mind, that you would be made through that burden more like Christ. On Sunday evenings, we have been singing a wonderful song, learning a wonderful new song occasionally, and that song is, "Whate'er my God ordains is right. Whate'er my God ordains is right." Let me read to you as we conclude here this morning, one verse from that. "Whate'er my God ordains is right, here shall my stand be taken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, yet I am not forsaken. My Father's care is round me there. He holds me that I shall not fall. And so to him I leave it all. And so to him I leave it all." Therefore, with that perspective on your burdens, with that perspective on one another's burdens, let us speak truth to ourselves, let us speak truth to one another, and thereby bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Father, our prayer is this morning that the words of that wonderful hymn might be our words, might truly be our words, not words that we simply might sing on an occasion, but words that flow out of our hearts, words that reflect our hearts, our love for you, our trust in you, no matter what you ordain by your sovereignty and in your sovereignty, and in your good and perfect purposes to bring into our lives. Father, may the words of that hymn be our words, that we may regard whatever comes into our lives as coming from your hand, ordained by you and ordained by you to fulfill your purposes in our lives, your good purposes, and to fulfill them to your glory. And may we, through speaking that biblical truth, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we pray this, Father, in Christ's name, amen.